How many of you have been disturbed with the way things are going in the world? Anybody? We come to the prophet Habakkuk, and Habakkuk was disturbed with the way things were going in the world. And he saw that there was, as he describes it, lawlessness. It just seems like nobody cares. Nobody cares about the rules. Nobody cares about standards. Nobody cares about the law. And we look at what's happened in some states where, cities and even states where they have just stopped prosecuting crime. And they've raised the level and the threshold. I saw something the other day. They wanted to lower the mandatory sentences for such crimes as murder. I mean, you know, come on, guys. Right? What? Where does it stop? Where is just everything okay now? We can just do anything we want. It doesn't matter. Even if we take somebody else's life. And that's how extreme it's gotten. We're at war with one another in the world over standards and principles. And Habakkuk looked at his country of Israel. He said, things are out of control. But he didn't just go, he didn't appeal to his congressman or the president or the governor. He went straight to God and he said, God, you got to do something. Man, people have gone crazy. And it's just out of control. It's reckless. It's endangering. And nobody really cares about you and your standards. Look, law came from God. And once we get into the hearts and minds of people that there is no God, well, the next logical step is there is no law. Because if there is no supreme God, no one who created us and designed the world and set things in order, if it didn't come from him and he didn't say it has to happen this way, then I'll tell you this. If it's the law just because you said it's the law, then there's no law. If it's the law just because I say it's the law, then there's no law. And that's what we've come to because people have been convinced there's no God. It wasn't accidental. It's Satan's plan. And he's got workers all over the place that are enacting his plan and submitting it to us and confusing the world, confusing people into the idea that the Bible is not true, even changing the Bible to water it down and to manipulate its message. But when we step back and look at the world and we say, no doubt there is a God. I don't have to look far. I just look in the mirror. And I see what God has done in my life. And I think about the fact that I can hear. Right? Was that an accident? No, God made it that way. And I can see and I can taste and I can smell. And just the senses that God has given us. And if you look at the heart and the way it works and the body and the way it works. And God designed all that. It wasn't an accident from a lizard. Say, well, I believe in evolution. Well, you can believe in evolution, but the truth is God designed us. And that's why it all works the way it works. I mean, step back and think about this, that all of this stuff just accidentally happened, that there was nothing and all of a sudden there was something. You say it was a big bang. Brother Foggy took me to lunch one day. He said, and he's a scientist, you know, and he said, Brother Derek, I figured it out. The Big Bang, he said, I figured it out. God said, let there be light. And there was light. He said, that was the bang. That's when it happened. That's when it came to pass. And I know that it's hard once that's drilled into your mind to accept that God stepped out of nowhere onto nothing and spoke it all into existence. That there was creative design. But guys, we have to start there. Because when we take God away, we take law away. And when we take law away, it comes to what we're living in now. Habakkuk was so disturbed by the lack of morals and the godlessness of Israel that he prayed. Habakkuk 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out to thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteousness. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And Habakkuk is talking to God. God said, we've been praying. Habakkuk said, we've been praying. Nothing's happened. We prayed for our country today. We prayed for those in office that are making decisions that affect us. Habakkuk says, God, I've been praying, but nothing's changed. He says, it's getting worse. God answers him. Verse 5, behold ye among the heathen. Regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Now we have to understand, and if you understand the history here, then you know that shortly after Habakkuk's prophecy, the Chaldeans invaded the land of Israel. And they begin to take over land, and they begin to take people back to Babylon. And so those who were the best and the brightest among the Jews were taken to the land of Babylon to make Babylon greater. And they left the derelicts and the lawless and the ignorant back in the land of Israel to fight for themselves, to do what they could. To survive. They burned and they pillaged and they stole. And they said, okay, you can have it back now. When would that happen? It would happen right after this. Habakkuk says, God, you going to judge us or what? You going to keep letting it go like this or what? And God says, Habakkuk, if I told you what I was going to do, you wouldn't believe it. But I'm going to do it. Isn't that what he just said? He said, I'm going to do a work in your days. Think about this. For 2,000 years, roundabout, we've been talking about Jesus coming back. When he ascended from that hilltop that day, there were two angels standing by that said, why stand ye gazing up into the sky? The same Jesus which you have seen go shall come again. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Paul said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air, so shall we ever be with him. John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. We've been talking about the rapture. Hearing about the rapture, preachers been preaching about the rapture. We've studied about the rapture. What is the rapture? Simply this, that at a certain point on God's calendar, the trumpet's going to sound. Jesus is going to descend into the sky and draw all those who believe in him up to heaven. And that means there won't be any Christians here, and the world should be excited about that. But see, here's the thing. How's this world going to respond with no Christians in it? If there's nobody to say that murder's wrong, if there's nobody to say that abortion's wrong, if there's nobody to say that this godlessness that's going on in our world is wrong, if there are no morals, if there is no moral compass because the church is gone, because Christians are gone, then what? I can tell you then what? Chaos, anarchy, murder, war. And then climate change. Global warming. Guys, it's all true. Al Gore's not wrong. He's just wrong how it's working. Is the earth getting hotter? Oh, it's going to melt with a fervent heat, the Bible says. There are going to be hailstones, 100 pounds. You imagine that? An ice bowling ball falling out of the sky? The land will be scorched. We talk about wildfires. A third of the earth will be scorched. A third of the rivers and the oceans will be polluted to the extent that everything in it dies. It's all the stuff that they tell you is going to happen, but they're telling you that's global warming. No, it's prophecy. It is going to happen. And here's the best part about it. We're going to be gone because we trusted Christ as our Savior. I'm not going to stick around for it. You can build you a bunker and get you some food set aside and all that. Look, if you're hiding from tornadoes, I'm all for it. But if you're hiding from the apocalypse, I'm not going to be here anyway. And I hope that you're not either. Put your faith in God. Trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Confess your sin and ask His forgiveness and receive His mercy. And then don't stick around for it. That's all I'm saying. There'll be a rapture. And then it will begin the tribulation period, which is 7 years. And the first half is not as bad as the second half. And there won't be any Christians preaching about Jesus and all the church. Well, not all the churches may be closed, but most the Christian ones will be, right? There's going to be two witnesses. I won't name them because we don't all agree on who they are. And so, so those two witnesses will be in Jerusalem and they'll start preaching. They'll convert 144,000 Jews that'll go out and start preaching the gospel too, and people will get saved in that period of time. Isn't that wonderful? Those two witnesses will be killed. Their bodies lay in the streets. And CNN will have a camera there. Oh, trust me, I bet Fox will have one there too. And they'll be viewing it all around the world. They're dead, they're dead, they're dead. They'll celebrate, they'll party. Because remember, there won't be a lot of Christians, only those that have been converted in that time. But here's the part that God says to Habakkuk that doesn't say to us specifically. I will work a work in your day. I don't know, guys. It feels like we're close, doesn't it? Here's the thing. What if God said it's going to happen this week? What if He said this week? What if He says on Tuesday the trumpet's going to sound? What did He say to Habakkuk? You will not believe it though I tell you, though it be told you, though I express it. If I gave you a date, you wouldn't believe it. So He doesn't give him a date. He says, I will work a work in your day. Habakkuk finishes his prophecy. The Chaldeans invade. When Habakkuk shared his message, how many people do you think heard it? How many people do you think responded to it and said, we better get right? We better get our nation back to God. We better get a Bible in the center of our country and our president, our king, our governor. Everybody ought to worship God. And we need to reach the children and we need to reach those who are backslidden. And we need to get to church and we need to get back in the Word ourselves. And we need to study and we need to witness and we need to reach and we need to worship. Well, we need to get right. We need revival. They say, well, I don't know, Tuesday. I don't know. You really think it's going to happen Tuesday? God said you won't believe it even if I told you. I want to work a work in your day, but you won't believe it. As discouraged as Habakkuk was, and we didn't read it all, but you see, he does spell it all out there in chapter 1. This is what's going to happen. You know what Habakkuk says in verse 1 of chapter 2? He said, I'm going to stand upon my watch. Watch. How many of you served in the military and know what a watch is? It's not the thing on your arm, is it? It's your shift. It's your turn. Habakkuk was, this was his turn. And he said, I'm going to stand up for my turn. He said, this is the day God put me here. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to watch and see what happens. Guys, this is our turn. Somebody was telling me the other day, he said, I just believe I was born in the wrong period. I should have been born in the 1800s. That's what he told me. I should have lived in the 1800s. Well, they didn't have air conditioning back then as far as I know, so I don't want to go. Do you, Sister Gracie? No. Nowhere there's not air conditioning. We don't want it. Maybe you say, if I had been alive when they cried, crucify him, I would have stood back and said, don't do it. Maybe you say, when Paul was arrested in Jerusalem, if you'd have been in that crowd, you'd have stood up for him and stopped it. Maybe you look back at the Holocaust and you say, I wish I had been in a position to stop that and I would have made it stop. Well, guys, we weren't. But we're here now with a duty to share the gospel and to preach the Bible and to warn people about hell and to warn people about judgment and to warn people about sin. We understand the warning about hell. Nobody wants to go there. We understand a warning about judgment because we realize that Almighty, righteous, holy God before us, we're not going to have any standing before Him. But let's warn them about sin. Sin will destroy your life. It'll destroy everybody around you. Get away from it. Stay away from it. Repent of it. Ask God's forgiveness. Ask God to remove it from your heart. I will stand upon my watch. This is my turn. This is my day. I must preach. As a church, this is our day. He said, I will set me upon the tower. What is the tower? Well, we can remember, we used to have fire towers about, didn't we? And it'd be somebody's job to go up in that tower and just look around and see if we saw any smoke. And somebody called and said, there's a fire. Somebody's got to run up those stairs, get to the top, and look out and see if there's any smoke. I don't think it's a terrible idea. Maybe we could have put a camera on top instead of having to run up the stairs at this point. But you know what that tower is for? That tower is to look and see if danger's coming. To see if the enemy is approaching. To see what's going on around us. Guys, as the church, we've got to be aware of what's happening. What's happening in our culture? What's happening in our country? What's happening in the church? Guys, there's things going on among God's people. Even God's pastors. They shouldn't be. It is heartbreaking. I'm shaken to the core sometimes by the things that I read that are going on in churches. God's church ought to be a place where we worship Him and we point people to Him and we warn people about sin. And where we come together in prayer and look to God and say, God, make me a better person. Cleanse my life, cleanse my soul, cleanse my mind, make me a better person. I don't want to be sinful. I don't want to stand as an enemy to God. So many people go to church as a social gathering or a political advantage and such as that. Habakkuk said, I will stand me in the tower and I'll watch. I'm going to see. I want to watch and see. That's what you do in the tower. We got to pay attention. I'll see what he says unto me. I want to have an answer from God. And here's the thing. Whatever God tells me, I'm going to trust it. I read this morning about Paul in Sunday school. God said, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Paul said, oh, but God, you don't understand. I'm the best man for the job. God said, no, Paul, it's a mistake. I got other plans for you. When it comes to sin, I want you to understand something. You can try to negotiate with God that your sin's going to be okay, even though the Bible stands against it. And you could try to convince God, persuade God that it's okay because you know what you're doing. But God's got other plans for you. And if we go into sin, we're going to be ruined. An opportunity lost. I don't know about you, but I look back on my life. There are things in my life, in my past, that could have destroyed me. There were choices that I made along the way. I can even think back to my early teenage years about choices, and I could see the path I was headed on. Not unlike a lot of people. But it would have changed the course of my life had I not stepped away and done something different. He said, I will listen to God. I will expect God to answer me. So God says in verse 2, write the vision. Chapter 1. He said, I want you to write it down. The Chaldeans are coming. They're going to destroy. They're going to pillage. They're going to murder. And they're going to steal. And they're going to take hostages. He said, write it down. And make it plain. I think I told you the other day about a person that was, they said they wanted to join a church. went to the church and had been going to church a few months and thought, well, this is a good church. I want to join. And so she went to the pastor and she said, what do I have to do to join the church? The pastor said, well, said on Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning, we have a program for 12 weeks. It's the new members class, and you have to be here every Tuesday at 10 o'clock and take the new members class. And then after you finish graduate that class, you could join the church. Let me tell you how to join the church here. First of all, get saved. Put your faith in Jesus. Second of all, bury your past in the waters of baptism, illustrating the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. We'll have baptism today. And unite with the church and say, I'm going to do something for God with my life. That's how you join the church. You say, well, Pastor, I'm already saved. I just need to be baptized. Good, we can do that today. Well, I'm already saved and baptized. Well, as long as your baptism is legitimate, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but not every church is really a church. As long as you got legitimate baptism, we'll accept it. And you can join the church from a letter from another church. They can say, hey, this is a good person, accept them. That's what a letter of recommendation is. That's how you join the church. We can do it all today. Not 12 weeks. You know what God told Habakkuk? He said, write the vision. Make it plain. He said, look, I don't want a 12-week course before the message gets out. I don't need you to graduate from college before you share the message. Let me tell you something. You know what the purpose of the church is? We're supposed to spread the gospel message. We're supposed to tell others how to come to Christ. Well, how do I do that? Well, you have a 12-week course. No. Let me tell you how to share the gospel. You know how you got saved. That's how they're going to get saved too. Because you realize you were a sinner. I realized I was a sinner. And I understood that God sent His only begotten Son. That whosoever, and I am a whosoever, believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I believed. And I prayed. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I said, God, I am a sinner. And I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I ask for you to forgive my sins and save my soul. And God, I give my life to you. That's how I got saved. And that's how you get saved. It's not hard. Don't complicate the gospel. Don't complicate the message. Don't complicate hope. Don't complicate eternity. He said, write the vision. Verse 2, make it plain upon tables. That's how they're... That he may run that readeth it. In other words, it's so simple to understand that as soon as you get it, you can take that message to somebody else. Guys, that's the church. As soon as we got it, we could share it with somebody else. My nephew got saved. He spent some time a summer at our house, and he went to church with us. And on the way back from church, I believe, we got to the house, and he says, how do I get saved? I want to get saved. And we led him to Christ, same way I just explained. He said, I want to call my mom. He got on the phone. He called his mom. He said, Mom, I got saved. Don't you want to get saved too? You know what happened? He ran that read it. And he ran. He got the message and he ran to tell Mama. By the way, Mama said, oh, I'm already saved. You know what's tragic to me? Is it a 12-year-old boy who didn't know Jesus and didn't know he was bound for hell had a mama who knew Jesus and knew the consequences of being lost and never shared it with her son? Guys, that's tragic. We need to share the gospel. We need to run. We need to read it and we need to go. It shouldn't require a long explanation, but immediate understanding. Verse 3. God says the vision is yet for an appointed time. That's the rapture. It's appointed. God's got a calendar, and on that calendar it says rapture right here. I don't know what day it's on. I wish I did. But I probably wouldn't believe it. That's why I told Habakkuk. You wouldn't believe it. It's on his calendar. And on that calendar, God's going to say, son, go get my children. And the trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is going to come and we're going to go. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. No more sickness. No more sorrow. No more death. No more heartache. Isn't that going to be wonderful? He says it will come to pass, but it's on an appointed day. Verse 3, at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. You say, well, preacher, they've been talking about the rapture my whole life. Though it tarry, wait for it. For in the end it shall speak and not lie. Because I know that we've been saying this ever since you've been coming to church. I know we've been telling you that it's coming, and I know we've been telling you that it's soon. But the signs have never been more in line than they are today. Boy, look at the book of Revelation. Y'all want to go here? Let's go here. You said there's going to be a mark of the beast in the right hand of the forehead. How are we going to do that? Somebody asked me that the other day. I pulled my wallet out, showed them my credit card, and on the credit card it's got one of those little, you know, shiny things on it. A chip. That chip is going to tell you whether or not you've got the COVID vaccine, isn't it? It's going to tell you your whole medical history. It's going to tell you your financial history. It's going to tell you your credit history. Your credit score is going to be on there. You better get to work. It's going to tell you whether or not you can buy and sell. It's going to tell your political affiliation. You say, Pastor, that can't be true. Have you been under a stone for the last 3 years? This is not new technology. That technology's been around 20 years. And it doesn't have to be as big as that chip on your credit card, though that doesn't seem very big, because they've developed it to the size of a grain of rice. How easy is that to slip in your hand? By the way, when you get to work, you can swipe the door and the door will unlock because it's got your code in it. And you can get to your car and you don't need the little button anymore. How many of you ever lose that little key fob? You say, I didn't lose. You'll never lose it again because it'll be right there in your hand. You go beep, beep, and get in your car, and it'll even start your car. Isn't that incredible? And if you get lost, we'll just be able to type it in. The satellite will say, well, he's right there. Guys, this is not technology that we're talking about or dreaming about. It exists. We've never been more primed for the return of the Savior and the rapture of the saints. You won't believe it, though I tell you. God said, I will do a work in your day. I will work a work in your day. But you won't believe it even if I told you what it was. And I've told you some incredible things today, and all of it's true. We're closer than we've ever been. We're looking at the collapse of the U.S. dollar. Chaos in our country. You say, Pastor, you're starting to discourage me and bring fear. I don't mean to bring you fear. But if God's people aren't ready for what is really going to happen soon, who's going to be ready? God says, don't give up on the prophecy. Don't give up on the promise just because it hasn't happened yet. It has an appointed time. There's a date on the calendar. Look at verse 14, chapter 2. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Guys, I want you to understand that even though sometimes we're threatened or intimidated to the idea that Christianity is shrinking and the church is shrinking and the influence of God is shrinking, verse 14 says, the earth shall be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Chapter 3, verse 17. Habakkuk says, look, he goes to God and he says, God, things are out of control. God says, Habakkuk, I'm getting ready to do something. You want to know what it is? You won't believe it. I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you what it is, but you're not going to believe it. And he tells him. And he said, now you write that down and share it with other people. And make it simple. Don't complicate it. I need everybody to tell other people. He says, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth. Habakkuk says, well, so you've answered my prayer. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth. But in order to answer my prayer, there's going to be destruction. In order to get people's attention to turn back to God, there's going to be gas lines, fuel shortages, food shortages, financial crisis, bankruptcy. And of course, we all know that the number one reason families are broken up, at least used to be, now I think it's probably drugs, but used to be finances and lack of communication. Well, when everybody's broke, you think that's going to get better? The homes are going to be broken. The kids are going to be impoverished. You look at these pictures from 100 years ago in this country, we're looking at that again. Oh, Pastor, you really believe that? God's going to work a work in your day that you won't believe, even if he expresses it plainly. Guys, I'm talking about taking the Bible, and he said, right? He said, watch what's going on around us. Pay attention to what's going on around. Y'all watch the news? I try not to, but I still get enough of that information to know what's about to happen here. Just bury your head in the sand, act like it's not going to happen. That's okay. Because when it happens, you'll look back and you'll say, I heard that somewhere. Habakkuk in verse 17 of chapter 3 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Habakkuk says, if it really gets as bad as what you say, God, if we really have to lose everything in order to get our attention, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. The things I tell you this morning are not to discourage you, alarm you, or try to shift your politics at all. Because I got news for you. God's got a calendar, and it doesn't matter who's in office. When that date pops, it's going to happen. I'm telling you so you'll be prepared. Not financially. I'm not talking about storing up food. That's not the conversation. The conversation is about your soul. The conversation is about your relationship with God. Are you right with God? Are you ready to stand before God today? Are you going to heaven? When that time comes and you give your life here is taken, are you going to heaven? If the rapture came today and only those who trusted Christ would be caught up, are you in that number? Right now, from your heart to God's heart, you could pray and say, God, I put my faith in you. I trust in you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I haven't done what you wanted me to do, but I know Jesus died for my sins too. And I trust you and ask you, God, forgive my sins. I put my faith in you. God, I give my life to you. I'm ready to bury my past and walk in newness of life. Is that where you are? You see, because I can't save you. You have to put your faith, you have to express your faith in God and ask his forgiveness. No one else can do it for you. Would you stand? The altar is open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. You say, Pastor, I want to get saved. Well, if you come talk to me, we could talk about it and I can help you. But you could pray right where you are and be saved. What's your burden this morning? What's on your heart? This is your opportunity. We have baptism, and so if you will stick around, hang out a little while, I'm going to go change clothes, and we're going to baptize Jordan. She already back there. Mom, you're going to go help her. All right. Anything else before we're dismissed, before we have baptism? Okay, tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Thank you for being here. Thank you for everything you do and all you are. God bless you. I love you. All right, be seated. Or you can go. It's up to you.